Well, it's been almost 2 weeks since the election, Simon, and everybody's speculating about who the ministers in the Labor cabinet are going to be.
Yeah, it's great fun.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, but obviously lots of people are going to be wrong, a few will be right.
Yep.
But one area that we've always had a keen interest in is defence. Who do you think the defence minister is going to be?
Well, it's going to take more than a sentence to answer, so we better do an episode on that, shall we? I'm Simon Ewing-Jarvie.
And I'm Heather Roy.
Welcome to the Voter Talk podcast series. Today, crystal balling who will be announced as the New Zealand Defence Minister and Veterans Affairs Minister. Okay, you asked me. I'm just going to answer it with another question. Who do you think?
Well, I've thought of several possibilities, but my front runner is actually Pene Henare.
Why is that?
He's got quite a strong background, or family background in defence. Lots of his forebears have...
His grandfather. CO of Māori Battalion.
That's right. Yeah. And he talked quite a lot about that history in his maiden speech, so I think it's an area that's important to him.
Mm. Yeah, he wore his grandfather's medals in the house during his maiden speech.
Yeah, so that was quite a signal that you don't see that terribly often.
Yeah, he's been putting his hand up for health, but I can't see it. See, the background of the position is that it's generally not very highly ranked in the cabinet. It sort of lands in about the sort of 18 to low 20s in ranking terms out of a cabinet of sort of 27, 28. So you've got to take that into account. The only time we've seen a front bencher hold this portfolio in recent times was when Gerry Brownlee at number 3 in the National front bench was put into the role, and that was when New Zealand was vying for a seat on the Security Council.
That's true, and before that it would have been Phil Gough, who was a high-ranking MP, had the defence portfolio.
Yeah, and he'd been Foreign Affairs Minister before that, which is interesting, because normally the journey goes the other way.
That's right. When it comes to speculation, some people have been thinking perhaps Stuart Nash. He had police in the last government and was very loyal to police, I think.
Oh, he'd be perfectly capable of doing the defence portfolio. Yes. Whether he wants to is another question.
No, I suspect not. He's shown a strong interest in economic portfolios, so maybe not. Yeah. The Australians have a female defence minister. There haven't been particularly many.
Yeah, Linda Reynolds. And she was actually a reservist officer for almost all her working life and was the first female to get to the rank of brigadier.
So well suited.
Yeah, she went when she first came into the Senate. She had the portfolio of defence industry, and then in the last Morrison cycle was put into the full portfolio of defence.
So when you look through the women in the Labor caucus who are likely to have cabinet posts, I think Nanaia Mahuta would be a name that could be there.
Yep, she's in the Kingi country.
Perhaps Poto Williams. Who's from Christchurch, so no, I don't know if there's much affinity there, but she's performed relatively well as a minister. Someone that I think will probably make it to Cabinet this time round is Kerry Allen.
Yeah, people rated her as a backbencher.
They did.
And she's done all sorts of select committee work. She's the junior whip, so if she doesn't make it into Cabinet, it will probably be bad luck with her. You know, with a one-party setup.
That's right, but I don't think they'll specifically be looking for a woman, and I agree with you about it'll be somebody from further down the ranks, because I don't think that Labor governments traditionally have really valued defence. Ron Mark was mooting that Chris Farfoy could be, but I think that he's probably... I don't think that's an area of interest for him, and I think he's going to be higher up the cabinet rankings this time around.
Yep, he's proved himself to be too safe a pair of hands to actually not give him a more senior role, and there's a whole lot of them going begging.
That's right.
You know, if you think around health, housing, transport, you know, social development and all that sort of thing, there's some big work to be done, and some pretty ineffectual ministers handling some of those portfolios at the moment.
Yep. So my pick is still Pene Henare.
Okay. Mm. Jenny Salisa.
Yes, a possibility, but I think given she had an associate health role in the previous government, I think she's possibly a name that I would put forward more for Veterans Affairs.
Indeed. I hope they don't separate them out. You know, when you were Associate Defence Minister, the Veterans Affairs was held elsewhere, but the two are inextricably linked. I mean, the Ministry for Veterans Affairs takes its funding through the Defence Force. You've got to think about the before, during and after being seamless, and having two ministers trying to do seamless is like, you know, giving a fish a bicycle, really.
It is. Yeah, Veterans Affairs should be thought of as an extension of defence.
Yeah.
That's the only meaningful way. You've got to have a real understanding of what service men and women have been through to do, in my view, a good job of the Veterans Affairs portfolio.
Yeah. So it's not impossible that Jenny Salisa, if she's looked at for Veterans Affairs, might be given both.
Possibly. That's not where her interests have traditionally lain. Yeah, so yeah. I wouldn't put money on that one, but I would for Veterans Affairs with her.
I don't think Labor's going to be looking to spend a whole heap of money. Well, they don't have a whole heap to spend. And so defence spending is going to go off the boil.
Yep, agreed.
They will, in some ways, they'll signal that by who ends up with the portfolio.
Yes, and I think that it's more likely to be linked to what's happening in the foreign affairs space. So I agree, I don't think we're going to see big spending. I think that the big spending probably happened, it wasn't their initiative, it happened...
That was the 2010 white paper just being implemented.
That's
it just happened to be that New Zealand first had their hand on the money machine in Cabinet.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that it's more likely to be about fulfilling international obligations. Mm. So that brings us to the Foreign Affairs Minister. I think that David Parker probably has been seen as doing quite a good job in trade, so he's a possibility.
Yeah. Andrew Little's been mentioned as well, but if I had to pick between the two, not on the basis of competence, but on the basis of look and feel, I'd send Parker. He smiles more than Andrew Little.
Yes, and seems to have developed a bit of a reputation for himself internationally and in putting New Zealand's interests on the table.
Yep.
I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Well, we'll have to do this in two parts, shall we?
Yeah.
So let's post this episode and then we think the Cabinet will be announced tomorrow.
Have a discussion then.
One thing we know it won't be, and that's Golders Garibin.
As we mentioned earlier, we've both had quite a keen interest in defence over a number of years now, and we should mention your blog, Simon, where you've done a lot of writing on defence issues.
Mm. Unclas.com, that's short for unclassified, which is you don't have any classification. And if you hop over there, unclas.com, there's well over 100 blog posts on there.
Yep.
Have you got a quote for us, Heather?
I have, as it happens. There's a lot of quotes on peace, not terribly many on the defence of nations, but I did find this one, which I really like, from George Washington. So it's an old one. To be prepared for war is one of the most effective means of preserving peace.
Absolutely right.
So it does speak to actually spending some time thinking about the defence of our country and spending the appropriate amount of money on it.
Yep. And we can do better in both of those areas. If you'd like to send us in a question for answering, you can just use the contacts page on our website, talkpoint.co.nz. That's T-O-R-Q-U-E point. We're also on social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and so on. That's it from me. Thanks for listening. I'm Simon Ewing-Jarvie.
And I'm Heather Roy. We'll talk to you soon.